There's 35, 37, 38,000 kinds of algae known at the moment, and that count grows all the time. So algae can be selected to do almost anything with it.
That's Paul Stoller. He's a senior lecturer at the School of Architecture at UTS and one of the researchers involved in the feasibility project for an algae building in Sydney.
There's many different kinds of algae that are regularly eaten around the world, especially some of the large form algae are, we think of them as seaweed, not kind of pond scum, but seaweed, and are part of, you know, an everyday diet in Japan, and I'd say part of an everyday diet in Sydney now. There's other kinds of algae that can be readily transformed into, I should say, industrial products and health products. Almost any time you drink a green energy drink now, very popular, they have algae in them. There's a whole nutritional realm of algae-based products, food supplements, health and beauty products, and that's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's growing rapidly. Algae are also a critical source input to many kinds of pharmaceuticals. The other often talked about one is the energy benefit of algae. You take the algae and either dry it out and burn it and use the heat in a building, or you can convert it into methane through a bioreaction process and then burn the methane slightly cleaner and generate energy out of it. Also, you can extract the solar heat that warms up the algae and keeps it happy and growing happily in the bioreactors. So in some ways, the algae panels are like advanced solar thermal panels or solar hot water panels on your house, plus you get food and additional energy out of them.
Hamburg in Germany is currently home to the world's only living algae building, and in fact, it's an apartment building with people living inside. And aside from generating its own energy, the residents can eat the algae that grows there. But hungry stomachs aside, what does the building actually look like?
It looks very green. It's literally a green building because they chose an algae that is green. So it has panels on the building. The panels move actually to track the sun, and there's a greenish water that bubbles up through them. The algae is grown in a water suspension, so it's always flowing through. Interestingly enough, we learned the building also has a very distinct acoustic character. You hear this gentle bubbling sound in the background because the algae bubbles up in the panel, oxygenates, takes in carbon dioxide, and then flows on out. So these are the kinds of experiences that we are only beginning to understand that they exist, and also to learn whether they're pleasant and desirable or unpleasant and noxious, or, you know, some mix depending upon the people in the building.
Paul, alongside a group of researchers at UTS, attended a living algae building forum midway through last year to look at how an algae building might work here in Australia. But with only one example to take notes from, there are a lot of questions that need answers.
There's very little data available about how living algae systems perform in a way that is meaningful to the property industry. We don't have convenient metrics for energy density or for nutrient density or for shading effectiveness or for even color ranges. So what we learned at the forum, what the property industry told us, is that before we can properly design living algae buildings, we need to understand how will they perform. And that is what UTS is organizing now, is a research effort into the technical components of living algae buildings, the bioreactor panels, so we can build some test panels and use them to answer questions about how do they perform, how much do they cost to make, how much do they cost to run, so that we can use that data to put together the information that we can then use to design living algae buildings.
The algae building feasibility study will wrap up in May, so it might be some time before we see construction start for a fully fledged algae building here in Australia. But trialing some test panels, that might be sooner than you think.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wilkinson. I'm Associate Professor of Property and Construction in the School of Built Environment at UTS. What we're hoping to do as stage two of this project is to develop a prototype algae panel. We're calling it the App Project. So that's very exciting because, again, we're having input from microalgae specialists, from engineers, from architects. We'll start to develop what we think is going to be the optimum panel for the Sydney climate, and then we'll set up the panel. We're hoping to set it up on campus, somewhere that's very visible, so students and the public can go, wow, what's that? Because they do look very funky. As they photosynthesize, you get bubbles appearing in the panels. It's a bit like a giant green lava lamp. And then we'd attach a lot of monitoring equipment to it, which would look at production levels and performance. We're pretty sure we can have something up and running maybe by the end of the year, and then we'll have it in place for at least a year and hopefully longer to get some longitudinal data on actual performance. And then we would be able to get information on how much energy is produced, whether there are different peaks and troughs in the day or months of the year and that sort of thing. And then from that, we'd be able to look at the energy needs of a building and work out how much we would have to provide in order to meet those energy needs, or whether it's a part solution. You know, you can meet 50% of a building's energy requirements through this technology and then have another renewable technology.
Renewable energy and finding other ways to power our homes and buildings is a hot topic at the moment, and one constantly tied in with finances. And with a new and unfamiliar technology like an algae building, how much it would cost to make is a big question.
With any innovation, your initial costs are going to be very, very high compared to later when it becomes an accepted technology and there's economies of scale through mass production. So, for example, we've only got one building in the world at the moment. The cost for that was something like $2,300 a metre squared. Now, a conventional facade in Australia at the moment is about $350 a metre squared. So it's a lot more expensive, but conventional facades don't necessarily provide energy. So it will be more expensive to begin with, but technology changes and shifts, and it doesn't always change in a linear fashion. You know, there are leaps and bounds. So you get these technology shifts. The pace is changing, it is getting quicker, and the more people that come into this field and try things out, the quicker those technology shifts will occur.
Sarah Wilkinson, Associate Professor of Property and Construction in the School of Built Environment at UTS. With any new technology, there are always questions. Some questioning whether the technology will be effective, whether it's cost efficient, or even questioning whether it's safe. For something like algae, integrating it into a residential building might raise a few eyebrows, particularly when, in certain cases, we're told to avoid algae entirely. This is something Paul Stoller from earlier says needs to be carefully thought out.
That is exactly what I said when I opened up the forum, as I've spent my childhood avoiding algae because it made me sick when I came across it in the lake. And now I spend most of my professional career, a big part of it, helping design facades that purposely avoid things growing on them or having water flow through them. So this is a very different kind of facade system, a very different kind of experience. And that's part of what makes it technically interesting and exciting, is to grapple with new things. But also it has the potential to give us, you know, new kinds of outputs that we don't normally get out of buildings. It's a more complicated system and a more complicated approach to buildings, but we get more out of the real estate kind of area. And in cities, which are facing all sorts of challenges to do more with the same territory, that's an important driver that we think may make the living algae buildings viable in a way now that they weren't even 5 or 10 years ago.